It's number 19. It says, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found. He was searching for something. Perhaps you're searching tonight, and you're not sure what you're searching for, but you feel an emptiness in your life. You feel a void there. There's no peace. There's restlessness. And you're longing for answers. You're longing for that which is going to be a stability for your life and for your soul. The peace, the joy I sought so long. What are you seeking for tonight? There's a number of young people here. What are you searching for? What are you seeking? Joy, peace, bliss, till now unknown. Well, tonight I trust if that's your case, you'll find it tonight. You'll find the joy, the peace, the bliss, and you'll find it in a person. You'll find it, they saw no man save Jesus. And that's who we're going to present tonight, Jesus, the one who indeed has the preeminence. He has claims over your life tonight as the Creator. He has claims as the Redeemer. The Scriptures tell us that he went and sold all that he had and bought the field. And you're in the field, and so he's bought you. Now he wants to redeem you. He wants to set you free. I sighed for rest and happiness. Is that your heart's expression? Are you sighing for these things? I yearn for them. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Are you trying the broken cisterns of this world? And you find that they're not going to satisfy. They're going to fail. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I willed. Number 19. Perhaps someone can start it for us, please.
Oh,
there's love, life, lasting joy. That which this world cannot give you tonight, lasting joy. It can't really even give you love, it'll take advantage of you. But here, the person who wrote this song had a longing for a void in their life. Perhaps you have one too. So tonight we're going to seek by the grace of God to present to you a man who can fill that void. A man, says here, none but Christ can satisfy. Let's close our eyes and we'll pray. If you've never been to a gospel meeting before, we want to welcome you. We're going to pray and then we'll sing another hymn. And then we're going to open the Word of God and we trust that He'll speak to our hearts tonight because He does love you. He cares about you. He brought you here and He wants to make you one of His own. He wants to make you happy. Father, we pray tonight if there is indeed one in this room who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the only true source of joy and peace and happiness, that tonight they would come and see their need and see that Thou hast provided an answer to that need. And we thank Thee for the cross. But tonight, Lord, let us know the heart of each one in this room. And there's a lot of young people here too, and perhaps have heard the message so many times, and we would just earnestly pray that if they haven't indeed come to Christ, that tonight they would do so. For surely, Lord, Thou art coming, perhaps even tonight, to take Thy people home, and the gospel will no longer go forth. Bless the reading of Thy precious word tonight, and may there be joy in Thy presence, and in the presence of the angels tonight, Father, of one sinner who comes to Christ. Bless this time, we pray, and wherever the gospel is going forth in the next room in French, that they too would come to Jesus. Help us, we pray, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Says, in Christ in thee my soul hath found. Number 11, hymn it says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear? Will your anchor hold in the floods of death? Will your eyes behold through the morning light? There are many in this room tonight, my friend, that have an anchor for their soul. The anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Do you have an anchor? Do you have that which is going to be able to carry you through life? Storms of life. Some of us have gone through some storms in our lives. And sometimes we often say, if we didn't have the Lord, I don't know what we would have done. Many storms of life, the anchor holds. We're not going to sing number 11, but I just wanted to challenge your heart with regards to what are you clinging to? What are you holding on to? Let's sing number 9. Come every soul. That's why we're here tonight, my friend. It's your soul. You're going to live on either in the glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to go on for eternity in a lost place. It was said this afternoon that God didn't create that for man. It was created for the devil and his angels, and we don't want you to go there. And if necessary, we're going to cry over you that you won't. The Lord Jesus wept over that city of Jerusalem, knowing full well the judgment that was going to fall. And yet there in the garden, He cries out to His Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Perhaps you're going through a cup of trial right now, and you don't know what to do. You're at wit's end. Your spirit is perplexed. You're just there. Jesus is going to be your answer. Scripture says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Isn't that wonderful? When our spirit is so overwhelmed, God knows our path. And there is a path for you and I, my friend, and it leads to glory. But it's a narrow path. It goes through one door. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy. He will surely give you rest, trusting in his word. Number 9. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. That's the burden and longing of our hearts for you tonight, is to simply trust him. Trust in the one who came willingly, offered himself without spot to God for you. Some of us were here today and or yesterday, and there was a demonstration about walking across the stage. I want to do that in a sense tonight, but I want us to use our imagination a little. Miss Brother Hayhoe here will help me. You wouldn't mind helping me, would you? Stand up. He doesn't even know what he's going to do yet, but he'll volunteer. All I want him to do is shake my hand. Because what I want to do tonight in a feeblest way, but yet in a loving way, is I want to introduce you to Jesus. You know? And I look, I see something in his hands. I see something in this man's hand. His name is Jesus. Thank you. What did I see? I saw some scars. He's introducing me to a man. He's got a scarred hand. Who is this one? He has a scarred hand. Zechariah 13, to begin with, I want to read a verse. There is a man in the glory. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has nailed, scarred hands. And this is the question. Verse 6 of Zechariah 13, 6. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And if he was standing up here and we looked into his hand and we asked that question, I'm sure he would put his other arm around our shoulder and says, let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about it. I'm going to tell you why these are in my hand. It says in the rest of the verse, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Are you a friend of the Lord Jesus tonight? Judas was his friend. So what kind of a friend are you? Are you a friend like Judas? The Lord Jesus wants to be your friend, a true friend. And there's wounds there. I want to go to the extremes, one in Numbers and one in Thessalonians, and then try to put it all together. Those are books in the Bible. If you've never been to a gospel meeting, you have no clue what the Bible is. It's a collection of 66 books. The Apostle Paul was in prison. And Paul, Silas, cried out, do thyself no harm. We are all here. All 66 books in this one volume is here to do you no harm. We're not here to harm you. We're here to bring you into the love of Christ, the love of God, God's so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so in the first one we find in Numbers chapter 10, we were singing about coming and we were singing about rest. Here is a man in Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Moses said unto Hobad, the son of Ragul, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And that's our invitation for you tonight, is come thou with us. We are a band of soldiers, a band of citizens going home to glory. A holy man, we want you to come with us. This was Moses' desire. He wanted this man to come with him. God was going to bless the children of Israel. And Moses knew that, and he wanted the blessing to go to this one. It's hard to say if it was his actual father-in-law or if it was his son-in-law or son through marriage. It's hard to say. But this is his response. Verse 30. And he said unto Moses, I will not go. How that broke Moses' heart. I will not go. Oh, he trusts there's no one in this room who will go out that door still lost in their sins and say, I will not go. The blessing is yours. All you have to do is take it. What blessing? Forgiveness of sins. The joy, the peace that we've been singing about. And so we were singing, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy, I will not go. Is that your attitude tonight? Is that your attitude tonight? How it must have broken Moses' heart. You know, those of us who have parents, we have children. Some of you are sitting out in this room tonight. Are you saying that? I will not go. You come to the meetings and you look like you're a Christian. You come to the meetings, and we're so glad that you do. We'd rather have you sit here than be an empty chair. Can't speak to an empty chair, but we can certainly speak to you. God loves you. He wants to save you. Your parents love you. Don't say, I don't want to go. And the other one was rest. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us. Friend, we want you to come with us. We want you to rest with us. And in Luke 24, the two on the way would say to the Lord, abide with us. But we can't ask the Lord to abide with us until we come to him or one of his children. And so the invitation tonight to you is to come with us and to rest with us. Are you troubled tonight? The invitation that was handed out said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Give you rest. You have rest of soul tonight, rest of conscience. What does it say? The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Last time I had the privilege of being in Montreal, I was reminded that I told a story. And that story had to do with a man who, as a little child, was gathered around the bedside of his mother with his two brothers and sister. His mother was dying. And before she passed on into eternity, she sat up in bed and told her children, I am going to hell and I will meet you all there. I trust there's nobody in this room who would have the nerve to say, I'm going to hell and I'll meet you all there. But my friend, the reality is, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are going to hell. You are. That's why the gospel goes forth. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Marvelous. God found a ransom. Who was that? Himself. Himself. Ephesians chapter 2 is the cross. First chapter, there's a prayer. Third chapter, there's prayer. And so forth and so forth. But that which comes is the cross. And what happened at the cross? Peace was made. Verse 14. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Verse 17. Came and preached peace to you, that which was afar off. Colossians tells us that he has made peace through the blood of his cross, and he has reconciled all things unto himself. Peace has been made there at the cross. But as was brought out last night, during those 3 hours of darkness, it was anything but peace. The judgment of God, all God's waves and billows. Scripture says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. And yet he has made peace. Peace. So you, tonight, my friend, can walk out of this room having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to be your Savior. It was said today that he will not force himself on you, or last night. He will not force himself on you, but he'll love himself on you. For God so loved the world. Scripture says the goodness of God leads to repentance. And hasn't he been good to you? Just think of your life just the past week. Hasn't God been good to you? Hasn't he been good to you? He's been good to us. We are wondering if we should drive all the way here to Montreal. It's a long drive from Michigan. But we got an email from our brother, my son Steve, and he got us a ticket on the train from Windsor to here. We don't know what's going to happen one day to the next, and here we are. And here you are. Where are you going to spend eternity? Peace has been made. He is our peace. He is a person that you can rest on. And yet the trials and difficulties of life are real. Rest with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in vengeance. We'd rather have you come with us to glory. We don't want to scare you in, but if that's what it takes to bring you in, that's fine. Whatever it takes, we want you to come to Christ. Come thou with us. Glory, the victor's crown. We're going to look at three incidences that happened in the Gospels. And perhaps you might be in these situations. First one is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke 8, verse 22. Came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the waters, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? Where is your faith tonight? You may have a storm in your life tonight. You may have a situation where you're in jeopardy. You're in danger. And so you cry out, Master, save us. There are a lot of people in this world, when they get into difficulty, will cry out for God to save them in their problem. And as soon as they're out of the problem, they go back into their ways again. They want deliverance from the situation, but they don't want the Christ of Calvary. And so here the Lord Jesus would challenge each one of us tonight, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It was said that faith is the whole revealed truth of God. What is your faith? Searching question. They're in a predicament. The Lord Jesus was asleep. And perhaps you feel that that's what it's like in your life. God doesn't exist. He's not there. No matter what I do, no matter what I say, I just don't seem to feel God. He must be asleep. He must. And here is Jesus, the creator, the sustainer. He's asleep. And so they have to wake him up. Well, it's nice. They knew who to turn to, didn't they? They wake him up. He didn't have a place to lay his head. Perhaps that was one of the fewest moments he was able to get some rest, and they go and wake him up. They didn't realize who he was. That ship wasn't going to go down. That ship wasn't going to go down. And you're not going to go down either, my friend, because God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. He has invested too much in your life. You may not realize it, but he has. The death of his Son. He bought the field and everything in it. And so here they cry out, Master, we perish. Who are those that are going to perish? Those that obey not the gospel. Those that treat the cross. Scripture says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those are the ones who are going to perish. The preaching of the cross, is it foolishness to you? Here they cry out, we perish. Turn over to Mark 4. Mark 4 and verse 35. The same day when even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, to me this is one of the most solemn statements that man can make. Carest thou not that we perish? Here, the one who loved them, they didn't realize who he was. And perhaps there's somebody in this room who feels God doesn't care. And so they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, my friend, let me tell you, he does care. He cares, he loves, he wants to bring you into blessing. The man who was standing by the bedside and heard his mother tell him that she was going to hell was my father. And that which kept him from coming to the Lord all of his life was fear. And that which kept my mother from coming to the Lord was the realization that nobody cared for her soul. Sometimes the Lord has to bring you into that position in life, my friend, when you get so down, that you realize nobody really cares. You could walk out this door and commit suicide, and 98% of Montreal could care less. But God does. God cares for you. He loves you. Psalm 56, there's a verse that's so touching. It says, "This I know, God is for me." And he's for you tonight. He's for you. Carest thou not that we perish? Yes, he does. He doesn't want you to perish. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I was a young person growing up, there was a brother in Toledo, Ralph Rule, and he would always used to tell us that perish meant pass eternally ruined into a sinner's hell. My friend, tonight, if you find yourself past eternally ruined into a sinner's hell, it's because of your choice. You have made that decision. The Lord Jesus does not want you to perish either. He was nailed to a cross. In love, he died. And yet there now in the glory, he's waiting, expecting to make his enemies his footstool. And yet Christ died for our sins. When? While we are enemies. Isn't that wonderful? When we are enemies, Christ died for us. He's died. He's not going to do it again, my friend. Those of you who have the privilege of being in a Christian home and have the scriptures, you look up that word himself. You find it first in Genesis 22. God will provide himself a lamb, and you'll be amazed at what he has done himself for you and for me. He gave himself a ransom. He offered himself without spot to God. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He has done all this himself for you because he loves you. He loves you. Carest thou not that we perish? And over in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8:23. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." That's where we want to come tonight, to this point in our stormy life, to cry out, "Lord, save us. Lord, save us." Because if you don't, we're going to perish. They recognized their need. They were going to perish. Scripture says you're already lost. You're dead in sins. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So here they say, "Master." No, they say, "Lord." Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. And so here we have it. Lord, save us. We perish. The preaching of the cross, my friend, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. There are many in this room tonight who are saved by the grace of God. Peace has been made through the blood of the cross. peace is being preached. He made peace. There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And there was a time when Pilate presented the man to the people of Israel. And he said, "Behold the man." And he had a crown of thorns, a purple robe, and mockery. But there is a day coming. The Lord Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels taking vengeance. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave, and now we're talking about vengeance. There is a time, my friend, when the day of grace, the gospel message will come to an end. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is coming to take his people home. And you may be sitting in that chair, and the Lord comes, and you're all by yourself. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. Jesus is coming back. Will you be ready? I don't know what your storm is in life. Some storms are terrible. A lot of people in this world hurting. There's a lot of heartache, a lot of sorrow. Young people, man does not want to die. My line of work, we deal with people who want to have lung transplants. They want to have heart transplants. They want kidney transplants. They want liver transplants because they're dying. Their body is dying, and yet they care nothing about their soul. That which is going to live forever, either in glory or in outer darkness. Man grasps for life. He grasps for it. And it's not just old people, my friend. They are 12-year-olds. They are 16-year-old cystic fibrosis people. They are 30-year-old liver disease because they're alcoholics. They are young people. And there is a generation missing here tonight. There is a generation missing. Are you going to be missing in glory? Are you going to be missing? There's a hymn, "When the roll is called up yonder." Will you be there? Will you be there? I trust so. How are you going to get there? Scripture says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." He saved us. My mother got saved on her knees in the dining room, under the dining room table. She opened up her Bible and read that verse in the Psalms. "I looked on my right hand, refuge failed me. Looked on the left hand, no man cared for my soul." But thank God the rest of the chapter speaks about turning to the Lord. Turning to the Lord. She was brought up in a nominal Christian home, and yet she never heard of the name of Jesus until the next door neighbor asked her about Jesus, and she said, "Who's that? Who's that?" "Well, that's the man who has the nail prints in his hand that I want you to meet tonight." "What are these wounds in thy hand?" "Well, you put them there." That's what he would say. "You put them there. You don't know what they are. You put them there. They're for you. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. If you would have them, you would have them." There's two aspects of the death of Christ. Many of us in this room know that. One is propitiation and the other substitution. Substitution, he died for you. He died in your place. You and I were the ones who deserved what he got. And yet, we couldn't take it. We couldn't take it. We couldn't be made sin. Our sins demanded that we die. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The hymn writer sighed for peace. He sighed for rest. He sighed. What are you sighing for tonight? What are you longing for? Peace, contentment, whatever it might be. Save us, we perish. Where is your faith? Where is your faith tonight, my friend? The lovely verse in Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 13, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Isn't that wonderful? Joy and peace come by faith, believing, joy, and peace. The God of hope. On the invitation, there was a statement about you can have hope tonight. There are many in this world who have no hope. They have nothing literally to live for. They have nothing. They exist. God, in His great love to you, has allowed you to be born in this country where you have the privilege and the freedom now to come into this room tonight and hear the very amazing story how that God so loved you that He sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross to wash your sins away, and you by faith simply own that you're a sinner. For God so loved the world. What was with the world? Well, all have sinned. God loved the world of sinners. The Lord Jesus died that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. And yet He says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. The Bible tells us of a story of a man who had 5 brothers. And he found himself in the lake of fire. In his burning desire, that might not be the right way of putting it, but his desire was that somebody would go and tell his brethren about this place, that they would not come there. Hell is real. Hell is real. Heaven is even more real. It's more glorious. It's wonderful. And it's there for you. Come then and join this holy man. How do I join up? Repentance, faith toward God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Have you done that tonight? The Lord Jesus challenged them. Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? And then the other one was little faith. Oh, but thank God, it's faith. It's not how much, but it's the person that the faith is in. The person that the faith is in. If you were dying on your deathbed and your family was gathered around you, what would you tell them? What would you tell them? Some people say, well, I'll wait till the 11th hour, and then I'll accept Christ as my Savior. I was at the bedside of my father, and he never regained consciousness to even say anything. Went down to Savannah, Georgia. My mother was dying, We stayed at her bedside and we stepped out to get something to eat and we came back and she was gone. She couldn't say anything either. You do not have an 11th hour, my friend. You really don't. Scripture says it's midnight. The cry has gone forth. Behold, the bridegroom comes. There is no 11th hour, it's midnight. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Coming back. Take his people home. Don't be like Moses' father-in-law. I will not go. Rest with us. If you don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you certainly can't rest with us. And you're not going to come home to glory with us. You're going to find yourself weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Last part of the verse. Having no hope without God in the world. That's where you are tonight. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have no hope. And that's the most devastating thing you can hear from a doctor. There's no hope. And yet there is hope with God because God is the God of hope. We had brought before us recently what God is. Romans 15 tells us the ofs, God. God of patience. God of consolation. God of comfort. God of peace. God of hope. Everything that you're longing for tonight, God is what you're longing for. And if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus could say, no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and no man knoweth the Son save the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way, my friend. You don't need to search any further. You walked into this room and now you know the way. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We got off the train station downtown Montreal. And you had to walk up two flights of stairs to get outside. I walked outside and I thought it was December. They had lights all up. And I thought of me, well, some people get upset when you use the word Christmas, but that's what it looked like. Looked like it was December. And yet you know what Christmas is. That's the birth of the Savior. But you won't have the death of the Savior. You won't have the very one who can indeed give you life, joy, happiness. Because you think you can do it on your own. You think you can do it on your own. One of the physicians at work, I overheard him say, someone asked him, why are you so busy? Well, I'm working my way to heaven. People really think they can work their way to heaven. No, it's not by works of righteousness. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Have you come to Christ? Those of you who have been brought up in Christian homes, are you really saved? Do you really know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Eli had two sons brought up, if you would, in a Christian home. They were both slain. Samuel had two sons, and they didn't turn out very well. How are you turning out? Are you feeding on wind? Are you like Ephraim? It says he feeds on wind. Are you safe tonight? That's what it's all about. Carest thou not that we perish? Lord, save us. He's done everything to save you. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. You'll be saved. But you know, you don't know. My mother was taken home, the Lord. Our children were gracious enough to give us an anniversary. We went to Hilton Head. Steve invited us up to D.C. We toured that for a little bit. We drove home to visit Joyce's parents in Cuyahoga Falls. I got a phone call from my son Don telling me my brother Don had died. 2 weeks later, he's gone. We had just seen him at my mother's funeral. We had to suffer with him, and now he's gone. We may have had supper with you young people. We may have been watching you sing over here in the corner. 2 weeks from now, where are you going to be? Where will you spend eternity? Life is short. Life is fast. And yet it's real. Come to Jesus. Turn over to a verse in Colossians. I want to read verses 13 and 14 to the first chapter of Colossians. Their time is gone. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And you can have that tonight too, my friend. The God of this world has blinded your eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel which shines in the face of Jesus Christ should shine into you. Now scripture says he has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Does Jesus care? Yes, he does. Carest thou not that we perish? Yes, he does not want you to perish. He wants you to come just as you are. Just as you are. Number 12. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting naught to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am. And that's really the reality of it, my friend. You come just as you are, as a lost sinner. I heard a story of a man who was visiting in a home, and he was talking to this man's husband and wife, and the wife had a nightgown on, and she wanted to come to Christ. And this man said, go get some clothes on first. Just as I am, do we believe what it says? Just as you are, come to Christ. She could have dropped dead halfway up to her bedroom. Come just as you are. Just as you are. Poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. All I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Fourth and fifth verse of number 12. Just as I am.
Thank you.
Just as I am, thy love I own has broken every barrier down. My friend, don't let there be anything in your life that is a hindrance for you to coming to Christ. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. Eternity, let the love of Christ constrain. Thy love I own has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. And tonight, my friend, if you come into this room lost in your sins, do not walk out of that door lost in your sins. We may never see you again. We may never see you again. Don't trifle with God. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And we would be like Moses when he was told, I will not go. His heart, no doubt, was broken. And tonight, dear young people, have you ever told your father and mother or the person next to you, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior? Not just simply nod your head or say yes, but confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Open your mouth with the heart, believe. Just pray. Oh, our Father, we pray tonight that there will be no one in this room who would say, I will not go. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came down that we might go up. Oh, we just pray tonight, our Father, that if there's one in this room who is still a stranger, lost in their sins, impress upon their soul that there is a Savior on high in the glory, one who is willing and able to save them to the uttermost. We thank thee that we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Bless the reading of thy precious word, and may each one in this room truly confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. Bless the reading of thy precious word, we pray, and grant journeying mercies if thou shouldst tarry. We thank thee for this privilege, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.